Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
This is Jeff Allison. It's Wednesday, August 15th, 2012.
Episode 8.11, the NFC North Assessment Show.
Woohoo. Also, full week of preseason games in our rearview mirror.
Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, sirree, Bobby.
And you know what, Jeffrey? Have seen two of those teams live in the preseason.
Live and in person!
That's right, so we can bring you up and close and personal to those
teams.
The
eyes don't lie.
You know what? I'm starting to learn that it is good to have an eyeball test of the teams before you start making predictions.
Absolutely. The eyeball test. If you can get to any of your favorite teams, preseason stuff, training camps, the eyes don't lie, friends.
No, they don't. And we've got some NFL news. We'll continue to discuss.
Do we have a wee bit of NFL news, or do we have a truckload?
Well, we do have a truckload, but we can't get to the entire truckload, so we'll give you the wee bit that we feel is interesting. How about that?
That works.
You know, obviously, we'll say goodbye to Chad Ochocinco. Oh, sorry, Chad Johnson. We'll say goodbye to Chad Johnson.
Is he
going to
get him numbered?
Maybe, if we continue to talk about him. Now, he's not on the team.
I don't think anyone's going to talk about him.
Yeah.
Aside from attorneys.
Yeah, there you go. MJD.
MIA.
Exactly. New footballs being introduced in week two of the preseason.
Yeah, there's some funny stuff going on there.
We'll talk about how a certain individual lied to Jeff regarding quarterback Tavares Jackson.
He just lied to me. He lied to
everybody.
A hat load of people.
And we'll talk about that little subject being discussed in the NFL right now, called replacement refs.
Blech. Blech. Blech.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Let me jump off of the replacement refs. I've got a little note for those at Park Avenue. Those on Park Avenue in New York City who think that this whole... It may hurt your feelings a bit.
Yeah. Last night when I walked in my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you're gonna look keen.
That's what the NFL has done. They've stepped in a big pile and they haven't acknowledged it or admitted it, but they know.
Well,
they know. They're as honest about this right now as Pete Carroll is with Tavares Jackson's job. Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump. Well, let's get to NFL news. Well, wait a minute. You know what? I was a little premature with the NFL news.
Premature news.
There's always some house cleaning that we have to do.
House cleaning.
Quickly, if you are playing in one of your fantasy football leagues with Jeff or myself, you should have already received an email to go claim your team.
All leagues are full.
I can say right now that all but 14 of you have claimed your team. So those 14 of you, you know who you are. Go claim your team. Drafts start this weekend, baby. Fantasy football draft this weekend.
Oh, my God.
We got a lot of them.
What?
Yeah, we got a lot of fantasy football drafts this weekend. It's going to be a busy Saturday and Sunday for
me. Loving it. Just bring it on. Bring it on. You know what? Arsenal-Sunderland, 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
So
first
you'll
draft,
be up, you'll
Saturday
be up
morning.
7 a.m.?
I'm just saying, a little footy ball.
Arsenal
got a little footy ball. Got a little fantasy drafting going on.
So there's that going on. I've gotten some emails from some folks having about the show donor page. I think we've got that all figured out. If you're a show donor and you still haven't been able to access the page, please shoot me an email and let me know. Steven@RARN.net. Jeffrey!
House cleaning done. What?
That's done.
I just filled the tank with gas, Steven.
Barely.
For the sixth time in the last week.
Well,
we put a few miles on the Avalon.
We did some travels. Let's just say that. We did some travels over the
I've
last week.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
And we went to Raiders camp in Napa. We went to Cowboys camp down in Oxnard. Chargers camp down in San Diego.
San Francisco.
Then we saw Qualcomm Candlestick Park and O.co Coliseum.
Yes, that is just to make sure that they get their money's worth. Overstock.com has rebranded itself O.co.
Yes.
Okay. And so that's now what Oakland Alameda Petco Park Coliseum, whatever it is. I know Petco's in San Diego, but they've had 25 names over the years, and they're now, for this week at least, O.co Coliseum. And I think we just go back to calling them the Coliseum.
Well, here's my question for Overstock.com. If I type O.co in my browser.
Is it going to resolve to Overstock.com?
It resolves to Overstock.com. So if you're going to make a name change,
do the DNS work.
Just stay at o.co. Don't transfer me over to Overstock.com.
That probably is DNS resolution stuff that hasn't been completed yet. It probably will someday.
Yeah, I don't know.
You jumped the shark too soon.
They did.
You weren't ready.
So there you go. And those three stadiums, can I just say that I believe we visited the three worst stadiums in the NFL.
Oh, I know we did.
Yeah, and they all happen to be in Southern California.
Yes. Sorry.
They all happen to be in the state of California, that's what I meant to say. The press boxes in all three of these places
are just piss poor. You know,
maybe
you're comparing it to Dallas.
You know, when you've been to the new Meadowlands Stadium, you've been to the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
We've been to the Georgia Dome. The Georgia Dome's old.
Yeah, they weren't that impressive. It was okay.
It was fine. What I don't like is the feeling of a high school stadium press box where, you know, generally you have to turn sideways to pass each other in a hallway.
Yeah, yes.
It should be two, maybe even three wide in the hallway.
Yeah.
Maybe. And at your desk, your knee should not get slammed into an electrical outlet.
Yeah.
Every time I'd sit up in my chair, and I know I'm whining because everybody would love to be in a press box. I'm not whining like that, okay? Yes. I'm just saying, when you're supposed to be covering the game, and your knee just gets cut open because of there's a little RJ45 jack coming out here that we just thought of afterwards because electricity wasn't invented when this stadium was built.
Yeah.
As was evidenced by the power outage at 49ers. Last year, electricity was an afterthought.
Well, let's get to
the people we like.
The NFL,
the stadiums, not so much.
Yeah, we enjoyed working with all of those crews,
sure,
all of those PR staffs.
Sure.
Nothing against them, but just the stadium. And then
Did you say they would admit? Yes, I did. I was on the air. I couldn't.
Okay,
and so I felt badly. Yeah, I'm like Steven.
I had to go and chase him. I didn't want to interrupt him when he was talking to the dudes.
Okay.
I don't know who he was talking to.
He walked down to our area.
They're Cowboys beat writers.
He walked down to our area.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
I moved.
I went around and said hi to him and said hi to Janice.
Someone asked, when are we on Talk Sports Radio? In the UK, Tuesday morning, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning and on Friday morning.
Yes.
And in the U.S., you can stream Talk Sport. .co.uk
Thursday from 6 to
Monday from
Monday
and Thursday nights, and there's also a listen again.
Yes.
So you can go into talksport.co.uk and you could listen specifically to our little segments if you want to go back and listen again.
So check it out. We're having lots of fun there with Mike Graham and TalkSport Extra Time. So that's about it. We've got some news, and I don't want to start with this guy, but we're going to start with Chad Johnson.
Just a good old boy. Never meant it no harm.
I truly believe he never meant no harm.
And beats all you ever trust saw, but a trouble lost since the day he was born.
Now I'm gonna take a stance that I don't think anybody's taking right now.
Uh-oh. Unpopular or just unusual?
It's an unpopular, unusual stance.
All right.
That I'm taking.
Take your stance sitting, please.
Now, before anybody goes crazy with what I'm about to say, please remember this. I never and would never condone you putting your hands as a man on a woman. Just don't do it.
What about a guy?
On another guy, if he deserves it, he has it coming? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Just being clear. Just clarity.
Don't hit women. You just don't do it.
If you need to, take a walk.
Take a drive. Walk away. Now, I'm not saying Chad Johnson did not do what he's being accused of. Now, right now, he's just being accused.
But he hasn't also denied it either.
Yes, he has.
Oh, he has?
He has said that she headbutted him.
Yeah, you know, in this whole he said, she said on the headbutting thing, I don't know if there's a forensic team that can say who initiated the
right.
butt.
Who was
the buttee and who was the buttor. Yes.
So she's accusing him, he's accusing her, and all I am saying is that a brother is getting creamed on an accusation. And I just think that us as a country, we need to step back a little bit and find out a way where we don't cream somebody simply because they are accused of doing something.
So are you saying Joe Philbin should not have released
Absolutely
Chad?
Not. And that, look, I know what Philbin did.
Just FYI, it's Wednesday, so everybody here in America who could watch Hard Knocks last night.
Should have.
Which saw Chad being cut by the
by
Dolphins.
By Joe Philbin, yes. And I'm just saying, look, after everything that had transpired with Chad and Philbin, and obviously Chad Johnson dropping the F-bombs in the press interview.
And saying he'd do porn.
Saying that he would do porn. And Philbin specifically discussing to him, saying, look, there's a certain standard that we want
here,
you
bro.
To represent this team. And, you know, dropping an F-bomb occasionally to make a point, I understand that. He even said that. I even understand that.
Yeah.
But when you drop six, seven of them in a row
no one's
at a
listening
press conference,
to you.
Yeah, that's not
it. Sounds like wah, 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 wah.
So, he made it pretty clear. That's not how I want you to be when you're representing this organization. So, I guess I understand that after this incident, Philbin felt, look, I've warned him. I need to cut him.
I think they tried to show through last night's episode of Hard Knocks that Chad was not getting the system either. I think they were trying to show that, but I think they failed to show that because they have no talent at wide receiver.
Right.
And so when Chad doesn't run the route exactly precisely, but he still pulls in the ball.
Yes.
And they showed a dramatic miss in game one of the preseason right. that he had. He did more than just drop balls. He actually caught more balls than he dropped. And when he catches balls that no other human could get to,
well, and
it
the
behooves
point to
you
me
as
is,
an organization that sucks to give him a little bit of chance.
When your general manager goes on air and tells Peter King, look, we got a bunch of four, fives, and sixes. I don't
weird.
Know if we have any
one,
two, threes here.
Threes. That was weird.
Okay.
How did they not edit that out? I'm guessing they used all their edit credits on the Chad Johnson piece.
All the edit credits on the
well,
Chad
Well, because, you know, the team is given a certain amount of editorial freedom.
Right.
And say, you know, we'd rather you not use that shot.
Yes.
We'd rather you not use that scene, especially if it comes to any film that includes plays on the field.
Right.
They're given absolute carte blanche. Don't show that because it shows what we're working on.
Right.
And then HBO's like, no problem. But the fact that they let this little interview between Peter King and Jeff Ireland go, where he just says, yeah, we got a little problem. Got lots of fours, fives, and sixes. That means guys on the depth chart at four, five, or six. What we don't have is one, two, or threes. That means starters, backups, or the backup to the backup.
Yeah.
Say that to Peter King, friends, and then you let it go on air. Everybody now knows your team sucks out loud.
So now what I just feel is like, look, yes, in college, if you go way, way back to the history of Chad Johnson, back to his collegiate days,
domestic abuse,
there was
charge.
An altercation with his then-living girlfriend.
Yep.
Okay.
But that was over a decade
but
ago.
But the dude's been in the league for 12 years.
Yeah.
And for 12 years...
all he's done is annoy the commissioner.
Pretty
that's
much.
It. That's,
yes.
that's his crimes okay. against humanity.
You got to go back to 2000, dog, is all I'm saying.
Remember,
before you
the world
come
was going to come to an end
yeah.
anyways? Y2K?
You got to go way, way back before you could say Chad's done anything stupid where he got arrested outside. Okay. Now you got a woman who Chad should have known this. He married her. He put the
he
ring on her finger.
He should not have married her.
Exactly. But you've got a woman who has, to her credit, a body of work where she gets in fights, where she throws stuff at people, where she instigates fights, and this is all in her reality TV show, Basketball Wives. She's been there. She's done that. She's created the altercations. And we've got a he said, she said situation. Mm-hmm. He headbutted me. Mm-hmm. No, she headbutted me.
Mm-hmm.
Look, for 12 years, this guy's been clean.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 3 years on this reality TV show, she's been causing all kinds of crazy commotion.
On camera.
On camera.
Not just hearsay.
I'm not saying you should believe one or the other.
But
I just want to give you evidence,
saying,
and I want to give you facts that nobody else is putting out there.
I think what you're saying, Stephen, is the benefit of a doubt should be that the jury is still out.
The jury is still out. And it's going to be out for a while in this case, I believe.
Yeah. Unless we find the forensic expert that understands buttinesis.
Buttonism. And so I kind of felt bad. I was sitting there. I was watching with my wife and my daughter. And first of all, my 10-year-old daughter, she actually walked out of the room because we started watching Hard Knocks. And she said, "It's the Dolphins? Come on, man. At least show a good team." And she left.
Oh, my God.
She left. Oh my God. Trisha and I had just explained to her Hard Knocks and what Hard Knocks meant. And I kind of explained it to her, what? It's, you remember when I was teaching you editing so you could do your website and your video, and you were taking some Hard Knocks. You weren't doing the edits right. You weren't posting the video right, and you were learning all that stuff. That's what these football players are doing.
School
they're learning
Hard Knocks.
How to make the team, and they're going to take some Hard Knocks. They're going to make mistakes.
They're going to be the tight ends who are told
and she got
we're singled out of the team
she
meeting.
She got all into it. She's like, this Hard Knock sounds good. I want to see how these guys make the team. And then she saw the Dolphins. She's like, oh, come on. At least make it a good team. And she took off. It's the Miami Dolphins.
Honey, the good team said no.
She said, it's the Miami Dolphins.
The good team said no. And we still watch.
So I'm still sitting there with Trisha. And we're watching. And it gets to the Chad incident. And I'm just like,
Jordan just said, what's the chance they're not going to run with the Chad Johnson story? Because it was very far into the episode.
Yes, yes.
I said, there's zero chance.
Yeah, it's zero chance. The end. That's how they're going to end.
They ran with Philbin's son's death, and maybe they're going to just tie up with the Andy Reid son death and Philbin's son death from a year ago. Yeah. And maybe that's where that's all the sadness they want to get in. I'm like, no, they do not blow this opportunity.
They ended it with the arrest and him in handcuffs getting taken to
the
detention
center. Most exclusive video that everybody's wanted to see, and they've held on to it for a week. And they haven't even teased it. For a week, because they wanted us all watching. And you know what? We all watched.
We all watched. And so I felt bad for the dude. Look, I've had the pleasure of meeting him twice outside of a football circle. Because I've gone to his, like, yo, I'm here, come chill
with
me.
Little tweet out.
And I've gone out and hung out with the dude. And then I've had the pleasure also of talking to him on the football field.
Is he
in
an
interviews.
Unusual individual?
And now,
Is he an unusual individual?
I don't think he's unusual. I don't think that's the word. I don't think he's unusual.
I think he's eccentric.
That's not unusual.
Eccentric, by definition, is unusual if you look it up.
Okay, I'll look it up.
I'm just
that's
saying
not,
that,
when I but, think but, of eccentric, I don't think of unusual. Unusual has a negative connotation to it, usually.
Oh, no. I just mean that he's cut from a completely different cloth.
Eccentric does not have a negative connotation to it,
in my eyes. It absolutely could. I mean, yeah.
It depends. He's eccentric. Is how usually it's kind of like a passing
by. The
guy
with 75 garden gnomes, he's eccentric.
It's kind of like a comment, just you pass it by. When you say someone's unusual, the cat is unusual. You're saying something about him.
I'm expecting to see the guy that we were at the 49ers game with the orange and blue hair.
No, that dude
that was
just
unusual.
Crazy.
That guy was borderline crazy, but he was unusual.
No, he was unusual, but he went crazy when he started stalking you through the parking lot.
He did, and I'm a good-looking man, and I'm in the Bay Area, so I understand that.
So anyways, that's my take. I just think that people are coming down really hard on Chad Johnson, and we don't even know what happened yet.
Slow your roll.
And I just think because I have been a man who has been accused of doing something that I did not do.
Yes.
I'm always
you're a little
like,
sensitive.
Yeah. Hey, back the beep up.
Get
a
your facts straight.
Just a little bit. There you go.
That being said, this just breaking news, sort of, kind of, not really. The Nashville Tennessean Jim Wyatt believes now the Titans' starting quarterback job is now Jake Locker's to lose. Tell me something I didn't know. Jeez Louise. Well, Matt Hasselbeck is done. D-U-N.
Yeah, stick a fork. Well, he looked really bad.
Breaks my heart, but it's true.
Really
I know, he looked horrible.
Seattle.
I'm just getting caught up. The only downside of being traveling foos, like Steve and I have been, is that I have a lot of games I missed.
You got the kid caught up.
And you know what?
NFL Network.
Thank God for NFL Network. I mean, seriously. But I zoomed in on my TV on Peyton Manning as much as I could.
Yes.
My Dish Network lets me zoom in twice, and then my remote for my TV lets me zoom in three times.
Okay.
So I was up close and personal with Peyton Manning last night.
So you could see the beads of sweat on his forehead.
No, but I was focusing on the ball coming out of his hand.
All right.
And I don't think he has the velocity on the ball yet. Whether or not that can return is to be determined, but he does not have a crisply thrown ball yet that I saw of all the passes he went through. And I went through and I looked at him twice. because I thought I was seeing flutter, and I was seeing some flutter, not as much as I thought I was the first time, but what I wasn't seeing was a crisply, hard thrown ball that comes in like a missile. Those are not there yet for Peyton Manning. That concerns me. He can make any pass, okay?
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that it's not coming in as a rocket, does that really matter? Well, it's nice to have in your arsenal if that has been your reputation and that has clearly been Peyton's. So if you can do everything else except for that, you're still probably going to win a few games.
Yeah. The other news as far as quarterbacks are concerned, the Seattle Seahawks have pretty much said that they are talking to a couple of teams about trading Tavares Jackson.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, hang your britches on a telephone wire. There, I said it. I'm not embarrassed. I said it, Steven.
Yeah.
And that goes out to Pete Carroll, who said to my face, and I have it on record. I could go find the recording if I knew how to find things that I've misplaced.
Yeah, I think we should find that at some point.
It's on my recorder still.
Okay.
So Pete Carroll says to me, one-on-one, nobody else around, TJ's my guy. TJ's my guy. He is going to be the number one quarterback on this team at this time. And he said this 2 weeks before preseason, before training camps open.
Yeah.
TJ has earned it. He, with what he did for us the end of last season, he has earned it. And then the next thing we hear is he's not going to play a snap in the first preseason game because we've seen his body of work. Which is 18 games.
And they just come out saying yesterday he won't play in
the
second.
Then they tell me he ain't playing in the second preseason game. Matt Flynn's going to play the entire first half.
And now it's being reported on NFL.com.
They're shopping you!
That they're going to trade him. And that right now they've got teams interested, but the sticking point is Tavares Jackson's $4 million a year salary.
So
nobody wants
now
to take
I read
that.
This from ProFootballTalk.com. That TJ was never a serious contender to start in 2012. Never! Well, you know what, Pete Carroll? If you could lie like that, congratulations to Reggie Bush and his nice house. That's all I got to say. Ow! Yeah, I went in the Wayback Machine. Yeah.
All right. MJD is still not at
MIA.
Jacksonville's camp. He is MIA. Still not at Jacksonville Jaguars camp, Jeffrey. Their camp is about to close. It's going to do so in just a couple of days. They'll be done.
How far apart are these two sides, Steven?
This is how quiet it is on this front of MJD and Jacksonville getting the deal done. It's so quiet. The MJD's agent took vacation this week.
What?
He went on vacation.
What?
He says, I know nothing's going to happen. They don't want to talk to us about what we want. I'm going on vacation.
Wow.
And that's how quiet it is on the front.
Maybe his vacation home isn't, you know, Orlando.
Oh, I don't know where he's vacationing.
Maybe he just went to Disney World.
Here's the deal.
He's got a cell phone.
Head coach Mike Mularkey kind of sent a hidden message to MJD. And he said, there's no exercising and nothing you can do to work out to simulate an NFL practice and an NFL game. If and when he does come back, we'll just see where he is, both physically and mentally. I think it would be a disservice to put him in there if he was not fully prepared. I would not place him in health risk like that.
Now,
you don't come in here and practice with me, you're not going to play.
I want people to just think back a year ago where we had a particular Tennessee Titans player that was holding
out. Chris Johnson!
And did it affect his season?
Chris Johnson!
Did it affect his season? He didn't get into the 100-yard range until, week 10?
Week 11? It was bad. It was a bad year.
MJD, we love you. We respect you. But, dude, you need to be in camp.
Here's the deal, though. And here's a little...
You need to pay the man.
Here's a little difference. Tennessee broke down and gave Chris Johnson what he wanted.
They set a precedent.
So he came in, and you know
what? Horrible.
I got my money. You ease up on the accelerator a little bit, don't you?
Depends on your character, Steven. See, MJD has a fantastic future for him in broadcasting.
Yes.
He has been on SiriusXM on their fantasy shows for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He's a regular co-host of the offseason.
Uh-huh.
He's fantastic as a broadcaster. His future is terrific. You know how you screw up your future as a broadcaster? You go out of the league badly. Uh-huh. Donovan McNabb is going to have one bejesus of a time catching on as a broadcaster because he's burning bridges every time he turns around.
Yes.
You know what? Broadcasters go, yeah, you know what? We have relationships with these owners and these teams and these general managers and these coaches, all of whom you've said nothing but nasty things about, Donovan.
Yeah.
You may be done forever.
And he may
MJD is way too smart for that. He's going to go out on top. He's going to be a broadcaster for decades.
Give the dude his money.
So give him his money shot because he will play. He will not go Chris Johnson on you. He will get you 1,200, 1,400 yards this year.
All right. Real quickly, it's being reported both on NFL.com and DallasCowboys.com that tight end Jason Witten suffered a spleen injury in the Monday night game against the Raiders. He is likely to miss the rest of the preseason, and his availability for week one, September 5th, to open the season on the road against the Giants is in question.
The backup situation isn't any better there, where John Phillips has missed the last week of practice due to an ankle injury.
Hannah looked good in the preseason.
And let me tell you, Steve and I were sitting next to each other in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. We'll just call it that.
O.co.
I'm going to call it the Coliseum. When we saw, who was it on the Raiders that blew Jason Witten up?
I don't know who made the hit.
It was crazy. And so, anyways, it was, I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. It was such a great, Rolando McClain. Rolando McClain blew him up.
Yeah.
And to blow up somebody who's 6'5", 250 pounds, that takes a little doing. And I said to Steven at the time, I said, 75% chance of significant injury, but he bounced right back up.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm like
6'6", 261, by the way.
I always try and be conservative.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I said 6'5", 250,
yeah.
6'6", 260.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give somebody that extra giganticness of saying that he's Godzilla, but Jason Witten is Godzilla,
He's a pretty big dude.
He's freaking huge.
The fact that we were there, I saw the hit. First of all, I was not happy that Romo threw the ball because, you know.
How about not happy that Romo did six series?
Well, that's true either.
And then
the way he got. But you know what? He literally, to Witten's credit, dude bounced up like he was made out of.
He was 6'6", 260.
That's right. He was a weeble wobble. He's getting right off the field. He's like, man.
But that just looked like a horrible injury, and it ends up it was a horrible injury.
Bad news to a team that right now is struggling with injuries at the wide receiver position,
and
injuries on
end.
The offensive line. Now you
offensive
got your starting
line looked horrible.
Starting tight end.
Romo got his butt handed to him at
they're
one point.
Dudes better get healthy.
Jeremy Shockey has been talked about as a possible short-term substitution. He's on the older side of old.
I'm not sure. I like what Hannah's doing. I would just go with Hannah.
Okay.
All right. Final little bit of news here, Jeffrey. And this is an interesting bit of news, Jeffrey.
Yeah. This is about Orlando Mare, isn't
it? Synthetic footballs.
This isn't about Orlando Mare.
No.
Well, I mean, in the sense he's a kicker, maybe it is. Synthetic
footballs. The NFL is going to use synthetic footballs with synthetic laces the second week of the preseason as an experiment.
To see how many more balls are incompletely thrown? To see if we can confuse the referees more? Why?
I don't know. Basically, the league
has... You
didn't
even finish your rant on replacement referees, dude.
We're getting to that right after
this. Okay.
But the competition committee said, let's try them out. Now, they really don't know why. And about a dozen starting quarterbacks have said, no, they cost cuts. They don't float out of my hand the way the ball does.
Cuts. Who needs, you know, so it's a cut on your throwing hand. So what?
Okay, that's
baby,
nothing.
Baby.
So these quarterbacks are already lodged a complaint with the NFLPA saying, we ain't having them. We ain't having it. Now, a conspiracy theorist who will remain nameless has said that they believe the reason why is because these balls with the synthetic laces are already being used at the high school and college levels.
Okay.
And those balls are provided by Nike.
Uh-oh.
The NFL balls right now provided by Wilson, and they use the leather laces. So the conspiracy theory thinks that maybe this is a way to allow Nike to get in to also...
Yeah, because Nike isn't in bed deeply enough.
They're not just giving the uniform and shoes. Now they can possibly give the footballs as well. Yes. That's going deep.
Okay, really interesting story for those of you who are ESPN insiders. Ranking NFL teams by depth, Steven. I want you to tell me what teams you think are the thinnest in depth in the NFL.
Cleveland Browns?
No. This is according to Espen, and this is according to Rivers McCown.
Is it taking into account all of the injuries right now? I would say the Dallas Cowboys are pretty thin.
This story was posted today, but about 5 hours ago.
I would say the Dallas Cowboys are pretty thin.
Right now. So here's their bottom three. Colts.
I was going to go with Colts next.
Jaguars.
Okay. Interestingly enough,
and I would agree, Oakland Raiders.
You know what? It's because they're young.
I don't know if it's
lack of depth as opposed to the team's just freaking young.
So I was watching the Jaguars game last night, and they actually, this is a quote from the announcer, they're young and they're hungry.
Oh, no.
That's all the announcer said, and I'm like, huh, that makes Youngry, and that's in Florida.
Yeah.
Huh, Youngry didn't work out real well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, it didn't.
So you're saying that Jacksonville's screwed? But anyways. Yeah. So,
don't go with Youngry. Just say they're young. How about that?
He didn't say. He said they're young and they're hungry, and he likes what he's seeing there. I'm like, dude, do you pay any attention? Most depth in the NFL, top three teams. Do you want to take a gander? Do you just want me to read them?
Most depth? Yeah, just read them.
Green Bay Packers, they've got his most depth.
Okay.
I don't have any argument there. Pittsburgh Steelers, that surprises me.
Well, I think their depth's
being tested greatly right now.
I think their starting crew is great, but then I think after their starting crew, they've got a bunch of young guys.
That'd be called depth.
They got a lot of young guys.
And that'd be called lack of depth.
Yes, exactly. Why do they say that? Because these young guys are really,
really
good.
Much like Green Bay, a lot of the functional depth accumulated by Pittsburgh impacts the passing game. The Steelers have a trio of talented corners behind incumbent Ike Taylor, including top 20 prospect Cortez Allen.
Young guys!
No Mike Wallace? Well, that's eventually going to be a problem, yes. But you're explaining to me why they're thin. You're not explaining to me why they're deep. Okay, last but not least, the San Francisco 49ers.
They do.
Now, we certainly saw Colin Kaepernick go crazy with his first touch of the ball at quarterback, backing up for Smith. So, Steven, the floor is yours. We're 32 minutes into the open, and you've got, I'd say, 90 seconds to talk to me about replacement referees. And for those of you who have children around.
Warning.
This is not going to be pretty.
NFL.com is reporting that it is very likely replacement refs could be in place week one of the regular season. And I'm just saying, look, league, I know you guys are in a stalemate with officials. I know that I have learned that the two sticking points are, one, you would like to introduce three more crews to the pool of refs that are in place right now so that you can have more options. And two, you would like the officials to become full-time officials and not have other outside jobs.
Now, I want to reiterate the sticking points and what this means. You're talking about fundamentally transforming the job of an NFL official.
Yes.
It has been a part-time job. The league is looking to make it a full-time job.
Correct.
Where you do not moonlight.
Yes.
That is a radical change from how things have been done. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, and I tend to agree with it,
yes,
it is a radical transformation. For that to go and happen without any speed bumps,
yeah,
very unlikely.
Well, the league needs to know is that those officials are going to have to get that income from somewhere. Are they going to step up the money? That's where the sticking point is.
They have to.
All right.
If these guys have been allowed to have jobs, some are lawyers, some are school teachers.
Yes.
Okay, those pay discrepancies are rather large.
Yes.
Rather large.
But still, it's extra income, and I'm sure those officials don't want to give it up.
And it's benefits. It's medical benefits for your families and stuff.
Because 90% of those officials have
Outside jobs.
Outside jobs.
They're not moonlighting.
Yeah, they're not.
Tony Carreni is a high school history teacher who happens to spend most of his weekends doing NFL games and making a lot of money.
Locked out officials, they don't want to increase their roster. They're like, look, this is our roster size. Use us. Why do you want to add another 20 guys that you have options to run around. That's what the current locked out officials do not want. And I know why the NFL wants it. But here's the problem. After week one of the preseason, and based on what I've seen, based on these replacement officials, one, marking off penalties at the collegiate level, is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're calling penalties, and then they do the mark off like if they were in a college football game.
Yep.
They don't have those right.
Well, actually, more often than not, what they do is they wander around with the ball trying to figure out which rules they are following.
Two, you've got a call like you did in the Buffalo Bills game where the ball was...
Let's be honest. The ball was on the four, and it was on the shorter side of the four.
Of the four?
It was on the shorter side of the four.
But still, it was nowhere near the goal line.
But it was 3.7 yards.
And it was marked a touchback.
It was 3.7 yards from the goal line. Which, so not a full 4 yards. It was 3.75.
You're convoluting the story.
Pretty much.
The fact is that the ball was nowhere near the goal line, and they marked it a touchback.
It wasn't
and
the same
head coach had to throw a flag and challenge a play that everybody and their mom knew was called wrong. Okay? That is a problem. Then we had, at the Cowboys-Raiders game, a penalty that should have been 10 yards enforced from the spot of the line of scrimmage, and the refs did it from the spot of the foul, which makes it 2nd and 12 as opposed to 2nd and 20. Those 8 yards, friends, that's big business, okay? And this is the NFL.
And that's not challengeable, by the way.
Oh, no, it isn't. You just have to live with it. That's how they mark it down. Then you've got a referee who spots the ball and places it about 5 to 8 yards away from either hash mark. And Tony Romo comes up to the line of scrimmage and is looking at the head ref like, dude, this is the NFL. You have to put the ball on one hash. You either put it on the right hash or the left hash, but it's got to be on a hash. It can't be way out there where half my field is now just a little dinky side of the field. There is no strong side. There is no weak side. I just got one big old massive side and little baby side. Move the ball. And so what does the ref do? He has to stop the clock, respot the ball at the proper location on a hash, and then they can keep going.
Then we have the call against the Jets, and they weren't even one of the teams playing.
No, that was in Atlanta, where Atlanta challenges a play, and then the official comes out and is like, the play is reversed. Arizona will not be called the timeout. And it's like, dude.
Great relief to them since they weren't playing till the next day.
That's good stuff. That's good for Arizona. They really like it. Atlanta still, meanwhile, needs to know, are we getting charged a timeout or not?
Then we have the game where the official called the penalty on the team and actually penalized the other team.
I'm telling you, then we were at the San Francisco game where San Francisco punts the ball out of bounds. And you know the stadium there at Cal State's got that funky shade. Half of the field is in the sun. Half of the field is in the shade.
Shadow.
Right, in shadow. So normally when you're a line judge and you're tracking where the ball goes out of bounds, you track the shadow of the football. Well, guess what, Jeffrey? It goes from tracking the shadow and then you lose the shadow because there is no more shadow of the football on the field because it's gone into the shadowy part of the field. So where did the ball go out of bounds? This is what the ref did. He started at the 2-yard line. He walked up to the 11, stopped, took a look around, took a gander, walked up 3 more yards, looked across the field to the other guy, said, hey, you got it? Because I sure as hell don't got it. Other dude said, nope. He walked up 4 more yards and then finally marked the ball down at the 18-yard line.
Then to the 18-yard line. Then he phoned a friend. He called his mom.
And it's like,
is mommy watching the game? Where should I put this ball?
And it's like, okay, you still have no idea where I was up in the press box. I got a better look. That ball went out like at the 22. That's another 5 yards right there.
Nobody's got a worse seat in the house than those in the press box. And we knew
and
where
it's
it was.
Just like, wow, this is, you got to just walk up to the spot and stop. And then you make the first stop. That's where you should stop, not 11 yards, 5 yards.
Then a week ago, night in San Diego, we were there while the first woman official ever.
Yes.
And you know what? She was fine.
She was.
Not saying that we should have all women referees come in, but we should consider it as an option over the group of guys out there now.
Yes,
just saying.
Michelle Easton
is all.
She was good. So there you go. Replacement officials, Jeffrey, in the NFL, gonna be interesting.
NFC South time, Steven.
NFC South will start with the Bears.
They're in the North. The Bears are in the North. Are we doing the NFC North or the NFC South?
NFC North.
So I said South. You said South. Then you said we'll start with the Bears.
I never said South.
You heard me, though. Okay. You kind of echoed me.
I just said Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears.
We're doing the North.
Okay. They're the pride and joy of Illinois.
Chicago Bears. Bite down.
Now, Jay Cutler did not play in this weekend's opening game.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, Steven.
Is that why the Bears look so bad?
It probably didn't help. But I was surprised at Cutler's availability or lack thereof. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know what? The Chicago Bears, they had a very interesting draft. I like it. I like the defensive end they picked up. But I like that they went out and they got a wide receiver in the second round because they needed a wide receiver. They need wide receiver help. Then, even though they brought Brandon Marshall back, who is right now fighting an illness.
Brandon Marshall's fighting an illness?
Yes.
Okay. Just bring this full circle. Jay Cutler warmed up and dressed but did not play because a day after his fiancée, Kristen Cavallari, gave birth to the couple's first child.
That's right. He missed practice because he was there with his new baby, which congratulations.
And that's terrific. No problem there.
Then you've got this whole Urlacher situation where...
Wow. And this sounds serious. Mostly because of his age. Brian Urlacher's having his knee scoped, and they're going to go in and take a look and see what's going on inside there. However, it is his age alone that makes you go... How much longer can this freaking gladiator keep doing this? It also begs the question of why is your knee getting scoped in the beginning of camp rather than, I don't know, the day your season ended?
Yeah, because
rest was one option. Rest was an option. And he tried that, but it didn't work.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that now his season's going to be a mystery.
It is.
He of course, says, I'm going to be ready. What player do you not know says, I'm going to be ready for the start of the season? I mean, have you met a player
I'm probably
said,
not going to be ready. Said, I'm highly questionable for the start of the season.
For week one.
Yeah, no.
They're all going to be ready week one. Now, I'm going to tell you that.
What is the importance of Brian Urlacher to this defense?
He's the leader of the defense.
Oh, so that's important?
Yeah, I would say so, very much so. Okay. Yeah. And this is a defense that needs to be as good, if not better, than they were last year.
So we don't want to put a lot on week one. Matt Forte wasn't in there. Julius Peppers wasn't in there. Heavy rain delayed the game and made a very sloppy condition. And Urlacher was excused for personal reasons, which now we know a lot better about. Yes. So the game was kind of a mess, the first preseason game, and so we're not going to read anything into it.
But the fact that they did allow as you said, a not full-strength Peyton Manning drive the Broncos down the field with pretty much ease until Brandon Stokley, which when in the world is the league going to step up and create an interception column for wide receivers? That ball hit him right in the hands. Yep. It popped up, and it caused an interception. Why is that Peyton Manning's fault?
Interception by wide receiver. That's all we would change if we were commissioner for a day.
Yes. Interception by wide receiver. It's very simple.
You
drop the snaps. You track the targets. You drop the interception.
You track interceptions.
If the drop is responsible for an interception, that goes to the wide receiver.
It's really simple.
That's it.
You have nothing additional to track.
If you track it as a drop and it results in an interception, it is interception to the wide receiver. That's it.
But you have to add a new column in your Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
Most people don't know they can option click, and it adds automatically.
Or you can right mouse click.
But that's a little trickier.
Okay.
Or they could go up to the insert menu.
Yes,
and say
that
column.
Too. I mean, that's why inserts
there's
right
so
there.
There's so many ways to do this.
So,
Brandon Marshall, huge addition to them in the offseason. Huge help. I think he and Jay Cutler cannot overstate the importance of this. My question for the Chicago Bears is going to be, Lovie's never been a big tight end team, and this is a league that's evolving the tight end position hugely. And, you know, when you've got Kellen Davis, Matt Sapeth, Spath, Ivan Rodriguez. Yes, not the baseball player.
Yes.
Not Pudge. Kyle Adams. I mean, you've got the tools at wide receiver. You've got the tool at running back with Forte, if you can, in fact, keep him healthy and in there, to have a formidable ground-and-pound kind of game with the great vertical threats. But you don't have the intermediate stuff that so many teams are relying on, but you say Jay Cutler's got the big arm. Okay.
We're going to know a lot about this team in the first 5 weeks of the season.
I think we're going to know a lot in 2 weeks from now. Their week three game, I'm going to be keeping closer eyes on that than almost any other team, because I think the Bears could win this division.
Could help win the division. Could beat the Packers.
Could be.
Okay, so week six, they have a bye. They start at home against Indy. You got to win that game.
You better.
Okay.
If you want to be taken seriously.
Just throw craziness at the rookie and beat him, and that's it. Okay? But then you go to Green Bay. I don't know if you're going to win that one.
Yeah, right, not in Green Bay.
No, not at Lambeau. Then you host the Rams.
And that'll be Thursday Night Football cut on a short week. The first Thursday yes. Night Football game, Bears at Packers. And that always disadvantages the traveling team.
Yeah, and then it gives you some time to
get ready for the mighty for St. The Louis.
Yes.
Oh, wait, you don't need that much time to get ready for St. Louis.
I'm looking 2-1 right now.
Go to Dallas.
Then you got Dallas and Jacksonville.
Now, you may be catching Dallas at the right time because they've got a lot of injuries. And they may
then
not
you've
be
got
ready.
Jacksonville. If they don't go into the bye week 4-1, you got to question this Chicago Bears team.
Yeah, and their legitimacy for the long haul. I would agree with that, Steven. They should beat Indy. They should be St. Louis, Dallas, and Jacksonville. Should. Now, if you don't, if any of those guys get the better of you, hit the panic button, and it
and
is
start
just
figuring warning, out what you're
warning,
gonna,
warning.
What are you going to do?
Warning. It's the bye week. What are we doing?
Oh, my God.
We should have been 4-1. Possibly 5-0.
Quarterback change? No.
No.
We're not saying change quarterback. But people are going to start freaking out. But you know what? In all defense, Jason Campbell looked pretty good out there. He looked like a man who's been a little miffed by his shuffling around of his
gotta feel
location.
Bad for
location. Jason Campbell, man. He's a good guy. What up?
Okay, since our prediction show is quickly approaching, let's just give a better than last year, worse than last year for this team. How about that?
Well, last year they finished the season at, I don't know what the record was, Steven. I can't, you know, that's really hard to do unless you got that in front of you. I'm just saying.
You should. Well, I don't know why you went there, but that's okay.
Because you said better or worse, and I got to know what better than worse than. What? Okay. Is this a better team than last year? Sure, it's a better team than last year. What was their record last year? I don't quite recall exactly what their record
was
last year.
The Chicago Bears last season, they were third in the division at 8-8.
Better.
You think they'll be better than this? Okay.
They dang, but we'll, again, by the bye week, we will know for sure.
We'll know whether they are
And
better.
As the great Gil Brandt said, the Godfather, the difference between 5 wins and 9 wins, so slight.
Yeah.
So slight.
8-8 last year, third in the division behind the Packers and the Lions. Mm. So
what a division.
Yeah, it's going to be.
What a division. Now, Minnesota, trust me, they suck out loud. Let's just be honest, okay?
They also did play a lot of starters. We were at that
But
game.
We talked to fans out in the parking lot, and no fan gave them more than 6 wins except for one drunk guy.
Okay. But their first offensive series,
yeah,
they moved the ball on the Niners. Yeah. Not a lot of people
and that's
moved
hard
the ball
to do.
Okay.
Hard to do. So, the Bears, I think the Bears should be really good.
Okay.
I think the Bears should be really good.
Moving on to the Detroit Lions. I was this close to announcing them as the Detroit getting arrested guys.
Hey, now.
What? Okay, fine. You play the little roar, but the fact remains that suspensions have not been doled out to this team yet, and the commissioner, it might be getting around to it pretty soon.
Commissioner might be getting around to it. He's got a few things on his plate.
He does.
Is there anybody you'd rather not be right now?
I do not want to be commissioner of the day.
Lord have mercy. He's got these massive lawsuit hanging over him with the New Orleans Saints.
This would be me. Steven, the commissioner would like for you to be commissioner for the day. He needs to take the day off. It's all you. You make decisions. I call in sick.
No. See, Ed, what do I do? No. So you, Steven calls sick. Yeah. I do this. Okay, that whole thing that Steve and I just did about the interception by 2-1.
Oh, that's right.
We're done with that. And, my arm. I think it's broken. I'll be at the emergency room.
Well, you have to bring it up to the owners and the competition committee.
Well, what I would say, no, I'm just going to strong arm this through. I'm just going to, you know, I'm only here for one day.
You're going to bypass
it. Let him fight it in the courts.
Yeah.
I'm out.
In the courts.
Or, you know, I could be commissioner for a day. Well, not today. Yeah. Not this day.
Yeah.
I want you to handle the Saints thing. I want you to handle the officials thing. I want you to handle all the Lions punishments.
Yes.
And then maybe, because it's a hard job.
And then
job.
Maybe you can get around to your
then
interception
I'll get around
by
to my
wide
interception
receiver.
By wide receiver and tap out. Maybe.
Wow.
So, the Detroit Lions, look, we don't know who's going to take the field necessarily on day one because we still got a lot of penalties to be handed out, but this is a damn fine football team.
Yes.
There, I said it. I even used an obscene little word.
You used an obscene word. I don't like that.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but it is.
What about Titus Young coming and saying that he's Barry Sanders has passed him the torch. He's going to be the next great touchdown scorer for the Lions. And he's not even like
Megatron.
I say it's a little premature for that. As long as Megatron's alive, he's going to lead the team in touchdowns. That's all there is to it.
Looking at the depth chart for the team, I'm wondering where this team is as far as depth is concerned at a lot of positions. And the first position I would look at would be the running back position.
Okay. They do have some issues at running back right now. They've got Kevin Smith. They've got Kellen Williams. And then I like Mikel LeSure. I like him a little bit. Now, he's got a hamstring, he's questionable.
He just came back to camp today for practice today. And he's on the field today. But
Job at best is the guy that has been the workhorse for this team, but he is very questionable for the start of the season. Well, because he is yet to be cleared from a concussion from last season. Yes. When you've been yet cleared from a game played last January,
yeah,
and it's August, pushing September, you may not get cleared for a while.
Here, let me show you what their depth chart at running back looks like. At this moment. Kevin Smith first. Mm-hmm. Keelan Williams second. Stephon Logan third. And then other, they just put other. Because there, they've got it listed. James Bryant, Tre'Quan Bell, Stephon Green, then Mikel LeSure, and finally, Jahvid Best. I mean, that's how far down. We don't even know what we can expect from Best this season.
So, let's talk about Kevin Smith. He's the first guy up.
Now, this is the guy, remember, that last season came out of nowhere. They thought his career was done. And then last year, he had a pretty decent few games up until he got hurt. Now, he's going to be expected to be...
He was good with the starters in his week one game. I don't know that his numbers were off the chart. Let me look here.
Well, he only played seven games.
You mean seven plays?
No, seven games. He only played seven games.
About preseason game one. I want to look at his numbers here.
Yes.
Limited touches, 28 yards, 5 carries, and a long of 11 yards, averaging 5.6. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And who did the Lions have this week? Do you remember? I do not remember. I can look up here. Boop, 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 boop. But, yeah. I should always have that up there.
Well,
they've already moved on to week two. Thank you so much for helping me.
Who did the Lions play?
See what I mean? It's not as easy.
They play the Ravens this week.
When we've been
gone.
They
played the Browns.
Okay. Cleveland's defense, it's one of the things that they have going for them that isn't awful.
They lost to the Browns.
Yeah.
1917.
Very disappointed that ESPN has already turned the clock to this week's preseason matches. I know they start tomorrow, but come on.
The thing about Kevin Smith, he only had 5 attempts. Not bad. But the thing is, last season, he got injured again. He only played in 7 games and got injured again. So, it's been a while for this guy to complete a full 16-game schedule.
So, he's got the Fragile label he's got to lose.
And I think that is going to be the biggest... Look, the thing that helped Matt Stafford and that passing attack last season is there was a little bit of a threat at the running game.
There was always a threat with the running game. And so that made it a lot easier for Stafford to stay healthy.
Yes.
But what I like most about the Detroit Lions this year, Steven, is that they have beefed up the offensive line. I think they've done a lot to keep Stafford healthy, to make sure that he plays all 16 games, because when he's on that field, they have a very good chance of winning. So this offensive line, I think, is one of the beefiers. I don't know if there's such a word. There is now.
It's a beefier team.
They're good. I mean, they've got. I think of Backus being 6'5", 300 pounds. 6'5", 300 is becoming the new offensive line standard. Yeah. Where on earth do you find these people? What freak show do you have to go to go 6'5", 300? Yeah, you're our guy. I mean, they don't just grow on trees. They fall out of trees if they ever get to a tree.
Quick question before we move on to the Green Bay Packers. Now, we do have the hopefully
six,
doesn't happen.
6'7" right tackle. 6'7". Three and a quarter.
Calvin Johnson's on the cover of Men.
Wait a minute. Where's the dramatic accent here? Wow, that took way too long.
It did. Calvin Johnson's on the cover of Madden. Now, can I just go on record now? If Calvin Johnson goes down to injury.
We say this every year with so-and-so. If X player goes down to injury this year, we say this every
freaking season.
This
team's going to have a bad season.
Oh, so you're – okay, so you're not saying no one should ever be on the cover of Madden. We've already established that.
No, that's established.
That, we don't even argue with that. So since he's on the cover of Madden, and since the likelihood of him getting hurt is very high, they're screwed without Megatron, is what you're saying.
I would say that their season is going to come down to the health of their star wide receiver. He accounted for, what, 16 TDs last year?
16 TDs, nearly 100 catches, 1,700 yards.
That's a lot of production.
That's an awful lot.
Now,
I'm not going
to
lie.
Let's just say, here we go.
Nate
Week
Burleson.
Two, they travel to San Francisco to play the 49ers.
Hits hard.
And let's just say there's a freak incident and CJ goes down. Megatron gets beat up by Optimus Prime. And the 49ers go all Optimus Prime on him and knock out Megatron. You got to look at the rest of the season for the Lions and be like, yeah, I don't know where they're going to get that production.
They're first of all, you never replace that guy. No, never.
You don't.
You don't. When you've got Hall of Fame guy playing currently
that
nobody could touch.
Will they be competitive? The question I'm asking, will they be competitive if that guy's not on the football field?
Well, this is where you change the team dramatically. You lose your vertical, your deep vertical threat, and then it becomes Brandon Pettigrew's team with more underneath stuff, and it becomes Nate Burleson's team with more short stuff, intermediate route stuff.
I don't know if I can rely on Pettigrew and Burleson.
They're decent, okay? But also you've got Titus Young. Titus Young, good
player.
Who was a mouth, I think. He's a mouth.
He could talk the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to produce for me.
Look, most people who talk do everything in their power to produce. One of the things from Hard Knocks that moved me last night was Chad when he dropped several times.
Yeah.
He dropped that one and he sits down and he's just like, what did he say? He was so disappointed himself.
He said that's a rookie mistake.
That's a rookie mistake right there. I can't believe I did that. That's a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
These guys, people fail to believe, even if their mouths, that they're not really hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That their biggest critic is themselves. Everyone wants to line up like a scene out of Airplane to give them a can of whoop ass. Well, you know what? You don't have to with these guys. They are their worst critic. They are their harshest critics. And Titus Young is one of those guys. He's a young man. He's a little light for my liking at a $174.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to do a very good job to do everything in his power. But you're never going to replace 6'5", 235.
No.
You're never going to replace that. Puts it on Matt Stafford. Matt, what are you going to do when you don't have that big guy to go to? Part of what's going to make Peyton Manning's transition easier is the fact that he's never thrown to a receiver as tall as Eric Decker. He's never thrown.
Brandon Stokley's shorter than Eric Decker? Wow.
They've got huge wide receivers. He's never had guys to throw to that tall.
Oh, they're taller than Reggie Wayne and?
Yes. And Marvin Harrison. And yeah.
Marvin Harrison was a little
yeah.
short dude.
And so it's like, for him, he's like, okay, I'm going to have a lot of zip on this, but I could put it up.
Could throw it a little bit higher.
But you know what? For Matt, now it's, I can't put it up.
You can't just
I got to get it down. I got to get it down and hard, and you better route your runs, Steven.
It's going
route your runs
yeah.
very precisely.
I just believe it changes the complexity of the entire Detroit Lions football team.
Absolutely.
And,
period. Full stop.
And knowing that, I would have been the dude that I don't like. What's the head coach's name? Schwartz.
And
It's Schwartz.
Robert Griffin III.
That's not what I'm talking about right now.
But you're not allowed to say his name.
I would have been Jim Schwartz. And I would have gone to Calvin. I was like, look, I know what? It's $250,000. It's $250,000 for you to be on the cover
of
Madden.
$251,000.
Don't be on the cover of Madden.
what I'm saying? You can't tell anybody that I gave it to you. You just say it's a charitable donation from somewhere, and you keep it under wraps, and you don't be on the cover. Please, don't be on the cover.
We've covered this ground about the cover.
All right. The Green Bay Football Packers. Why are they the Green Bay Football Packers? I don't know.
But because they don't want to be confused with the Green Bay people.
Oh, that's right. The Acme
shipping company. The Acme shipping company. Packers. Acme packing company. Get it right.
Yes.
Acme packing company.
So what's going on right now? Just real quickly, I know we don't have much time. But Jeffrey, there's a little kind of war of words going on right now between the Packers and the Giants. And, you know, the Packers kind of said that they beat themselves. The Giants didn't beat them. And the Giants kind of took offense to that. And they're like, well, we the Super Bowl champion. Beep. And, you know, and so you
if you're holding the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. You get to say pretty much anything you want.
No, to me, you should just kind of shut your pie hole.
Okay.
And just hold up the trophy. And just, you know, scoreboard. Because when you're saying scoreboard, basically everything else is sour grapes.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of people just going, scoreboard, well, look, sour grapes.
Clay Matthews came out and said, and he was very serious when he said this. And
I'm
he said the Giants.
Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
The Giants did not beat
Daddy
us.
Call him Clay.
I'm sorry, if I'm a New York Giant, I don't like that.
No.
Scoreboard. Excuse me?
Scoreboard.
We went into your house, and we whooped the bejesus out of you.
Again.
That's true. Again.
Again. Again. The New York Giants go into Green Bay. The frozen that you cannot win in that time of year in Green Bay. They've done it again. What does that tell you? They're a better club than you.
Yeah.
They are more prepared on game day than you. Now, you sat at the top of Jeff's most powerful rankings all last season, and that's the thanks I get?
I don't usually like to tell you anything about OC Human Europe, but I love his comments. And he
you
says,
don't like to say his name around me because I might say something inappropriate. I didn't say anything today.
OC says, so I saw Clay Matthews say his statement, and I looked up at the scoreboard, and I say, but they lost by 17 points. How did you give away a game that you got beat by 17 points?
How many points are a touchdown worth, Steven?
7.
Okay, so that's more than two touchdowns.
So how did you beat yourself? I want to know how you beat yourself.
We kicked our ass.
So anyway, I just think the Green Bay Packers need to stop talking in the media.
Yeah.
They need to get back to focusing when they were 14-0 before they got beat by the Kansas City Chiefs of all the freaking teams in the league to beat them.
Lord.
Okay, and they need to start worrying about their business. Tight end extraordinaire, Jermichael Finley has not been around his whole training camp.
No.
He started out, he got a slight concussion. He missed a couple games. Then he came, a couple practices. He came back for one practice, Jeffrey, and then he messed up his quad. He has been on the field, not going to play again this preseason game.
They're
all right?
So deep.
You got running backs who don't know how to handle football. We were there. We saw them live. James Starks, first carry, boom, fumble. You got your kickoff unit. They get the ball, first kickoff after the Chargers score, boom, fumble. You can't play and be the team. What did I tweet after that second fumble? The Packers have picked up right where they left off last season.
That's true.
They were a fumbling machine against the Giants. I'm sorry, the Giants beat you. You did not beat yourselves because the Giants went after the football and stripped it from you. And that's what San Diego did. They saw that tape from last year and said, you know what? Just go after the ball. They put it on the
first
ground.
First guy does what, Steven?
Fumble!
No. Defender.
First guy
wrap you up. Wrap you up,
and then the next
second guy,
come
after the ball.
Chop the ball out. Chop it.
This is simple. This is football 202, people.
So what are the Packers have gone done? Let's go get Cedric Benson. Let's go get someone who we know can't hold on to the football. Because Cedric Benson.
Why the would you sign Cedric Benson?
Because he holds on to the football. I think he fumbled like once and like 100 and I don't know how many carries for the Cincinnati Bengals.
A whole bunch.
Yeah. I think before he fumbled, I think he almost made 200 attempts before he fumbled. He doesn't put the ball on the ground much. And right now, Starks is a shell of the guy that he was that made him a superstar there in Green Bay. And
Steven, give me the mathematical chance of James Starks or Alex Green or Brandon Sane being the lead running back come week one of the season, barring injury. I see Sed Benson in there with it as his job forever and ever and ever. What is the chance of him not winning the job based on what you've seen thus far?
I would like to see him on the football field. Unfortunately, he's not going to play this weekend. He'll play a lot week three. I think this is Sed Benson's team. He's going to be the runner, starting running
back.
Damn
straight.
And Starks is going to – because I think what the Packers have realized, Starks comes in better off the bench.
Yes.
We can bring him in as a change of pace back, and that's where he thrives.
And he can be relied upon in those situations.
Right, because –
Sed Benson's an every down back, okay? He's an every down back, and that makes Aaron Rodgers that much better. Yep. The Packers set out last year not to throw the ball as much as they did. But you know what? They didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it worked for them most of the season, but they didn't have a choice. Now they have a choice. Now you have a real, legitimate run threat, makes play action work, makes Aaron Rodgers that much better, and Aaron Rodgers is the best.
You know what? I think this is – I think what you're seeing with the Packers, and I think if you're watching Hard Knocks, you heard Mike Sherman say in the press box of the game against the Chargers, there was that one drive coming in the second half where Tannehill threw the ball. There were no runs in that drive.
Yeah.
No, and they scored a touchdown.
He threw a touchdown pass. No runs in that drive.
And someone told that to Sherman. And Sherman was like, I've been watching too much Green Bay Packer film. Seriously, that's what the Packers are going to have to rely on. They're going to have to rely on Aaron Rodgers again throwing the ball like mad.
Not if Cedric Benson can be a viable threat in there. Then you've got balance.
He just got in.
Dude.
Yesterday.
Has he not been staying in shape?
I hope so. I mean, you hope so.
Running backs, and I said this last year with Vince Young. I'm not Vince Young, with Chris Johnson. I said running backs are more plug and play than any other position. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Johnson was Chris Johnson and was a shell of himself.
Yes.
I still believe that. Find the hole, hit the hole, follow your fullback, you know? I don't know.
It's a different football game, and I think the Packers.
James Starks, dude.
One, the Packers better be hopeful that Aaron Rodgers is upright and stays healthy for 16 games. This is another team where, once again, I'll tell you, you know, they paid Aaron Rodgers not to be on the cover of Madden, okay? They did, because they understand that with Flynn gone,
Got
Graham Harrell, who, Jeffrey, when we were in San Diego, we went to how many Green Bay Packer fans before one of them could tell me the backup to Aaron Rodgers?
I would
Graham
say,
Harrell.
Honestly, two dozen.
I'm putting it closer to 50.
I'm always conservative on my guesses.
60. Okay, maybe.
Steven exaggerates one way. I exaggerate the other way just for sake of safety. Oh. I always like to be conservative on my estimates. So I'm saying 12 people. It was closer to 50.
It was about closer to 50. How many?
How many Packer fans were there?
There were
75,000 Packer fans.
Literally, guys, we went to about 50 people. And I was like,
Aaron Rodgers. Well, and then we say, okay, we have got a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Yes. If you could tell us who the backup quarterback is.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
And they go, Flynn's gone. Flynn's gone.
And then the second thing was, well, you don't need a backup if you got Aaron Rodgers. I was like, okay.
Really?
Until he
How
gets hurt.
How did you know Matt Flynn's name?
Yeah, he got hurt
last year. Does that ring anybody's bell where he set all those rookie records because Aaron couldn't play? Does that ring anybody's bell? Okay, so finally, at the 50th person, somebody said, Harrell? Harrell? Guy named Harrell?
No, he did. He came up with Graham.
Then he said, Harrell? Harrell? I think his name's Harrell. Graham Harrell!
Yeah.
He kind of did that way. He backed into it, and he got it. Yes, Graham Harrell out of Texas Tech.
I gave him all the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That we wouldn't be able to give any more away.
Anyways, if Rodgers goes down, I don't like what I saw from Harrell in that preseason game that
Harold?
We were there.
I think his name's Harrell.
Unfortunately, you know, we couldn't, because I was doing radio, we couldn't stay for the whole game, so I didn't get to see a lot of it. But he didn't look good.
Finished the game in Hooters in beautiful Mira Mesa. So that gets us to we agree that the Packers are going to be fine.
They're going to be fine.
That gets us to the last team, and I mean last.
But you do have to answer the question, Jeffrey.
Harrell?
No, you have to answer the question. Will they be better or worse than last year?
Oh, I think just...
They were 15-1 last year.
Remember that statistics teaches us regression towards the mean.
Yes.
And the mean is your average, and regression means moving backwards, and average is certainly
eight.
Not average is 8-8. You won how many games?
15?
15 games. Regression towards the mean. You're going to move back yes. towards what's normal.
Yes.
You're not going to win 15 games. You may win 14, you may win 13, but you're not going to win 15. Okay. You're certainly, Lord knows, not going to win 16.
A little worse in the regular season, hopefully a lot better in the playoffs.
Yeah, so they
lost their first playoff game.
That was very depressing. Yes. Very depressing.
Minnesota Vikings
wow,
got
really
the horny
bad.
Horns.
Maybe they're horny. Maybe they got that going for them, Steven, because they're up next.
Okay. Wow. Adrian Peterson's back at practice.
Yeah.
They have a do not touch Adrian Peterson rule.
Does he wear a special
place.
Cap? A little beanie?
Something. I like that. Don't touch me or I'll kill you. Because you know what? I was shocked at how many hits Matt Moore was taking at practice.
Jordan kept looking at me. He says, Dad, I thought that you couldn't touch the quarterback.
You could not.
And the first one I said, I'm not going to replay it because we don't have time. Maybe someone tripped into him. And then the second one, wham! Like, maybe they hate him.
Maybe.
Maybe they hate him because Joe Philbin certainly isn't going out of his way to keep him healthy. That's for dang chore.
Yes, the don't touch him rule of Adrian Peterson, who was back to practice in Minnesota. Reports are that hopefully he will be ready for week one. Although Jerry Rice has come out and said something. This is Jeffrey. He said that he thinks Adrian Peterson is rushing back from this injury and probably shouldn't be out there.
Has Adrian Peterson not learned his lesson? How many times has he come back too soon from injury and been ineffective?
I know.
Because he is crap. Adrian Peterson is a poor running back if he can't get outside, Steven. Between the tackles, running back is not Adrian Peterson's strength. It's busting outside. That means burst. That means speed. That means cutting, agility. Then his power takes over and you can't bring him down and he's gone. And we've seen when he's tried to just be that up the middle guy and he looks very average. 2 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 3 yards.
Well, no. The only way the Vikings are going to stay competitive in this division and in the league is their defense.
Steve,
once again, led by Jason Allen. I think the defense. Jared Allen. They looked pretty good against the 49ers when the first stringers were in there against the first stringers. They held Alex Smith and the Niners in check for the most part.
But I want to ask you this, because we talked about Adrian Peterson before we got to the defense.
Yeah.
How did you feel about how Toby Gerhard looked?
He looked like he's ready to step in.
He looks greatly improved to me.
Well, I think last year he was a little shell-shocked at
just being there. I'm just graduated from Stanford, and now in the NFL.
And the thing is, you know, he was the guy at Stanford for so long,
period.
And now you come in, dude, you can't even hold a candle to the guy in Minnesota.
No.
And so he came in as like a change of pace. You're a change of pace from Adrian Peterson? Well, that's weird. For him, and I think it was a little much, but I think he's had a full year. He's had an off season to think about it. He's had an off season to think about what's expected of him.
He's had coaching in the off season.
Some coaching, and I think that he looked a lot better. He had some good runs against the Niners.
I thought he looked terrific. 49ers are a team impossible to run against, and I thought he looked okay.
Yes.
My next question is, whom would be your quarterback on this team?
Christian Ponder.
So you would be going with Ponder. You're cool with Ponder.
I like what Ponder did at the end of last season. He completed 4 passes for 80 yards, which means he's throwing the ball deep.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Uh-huh. That one catch, the 43-yard. Well, no, because, look, when you can throw the ball deep and you've got a running back in your backfield that's Adrian Peterson.
Team, better.
You can say, well, you know what, fine. You want to sack Aiden in the box? I'll throw it deep because we could do that. And
I'll just make you pay for it.
Yes. Go ahead. Then you get out Aiden in the box. And then I think Christian Ponder gives them that. I do like Webb, but I think that Ponder is the future of the team. And they gotta unleash what they have now. Forget the future. The future is now. Put them out there. I would be surprised if I didn't see Ponder go 3, maybe 4 series the second game and go the entire half the third game and win the job.
How excited are you for tomorrow night?
I'm pretty excited.
What is it about the preseason that we're such geeks?
I've got my way to. I think I'm gonna have all the games up simultaneously. I don't care. I'm a nerd.
Okay, so just so you know, tomorrow what we got coming up? We got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Atlanta Falcons at 5 o'clock on Fox. We got the Cleveland Browns at the Green Bay Packers at 5 o'clock.
Only two Thursday games.
Only two Thursday games, so getting them all will not be a problem.
Yes.
But we have to somehow tap into
Friday
and Saturday will
crazy.
Be really
yeah.
brutal.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, it's I'm just so excited about the preseason.
Yeah, I'm glad that we'll be able to get to see. I think it's the Atlanta game live here. So
The Atlanta game, yeah, that's going to be on the Big Fox.
Right, right.
Big Fox,
and then I think the. I'll find a way to get Cleveland Green Bay because
we're going
to
tap into somebody's TV who is in the Green Bay. Oh, and by the way, we should say in NFL news that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game is blacked out.
Yeah, that I did tweet that out yesterday.
Welcome to LA. We hope you enjoy your stay.
A little bit here of news, and that is with them accepting the NFL.
Yes, new reduced.
85% sales.
Yes,
they couldn't even get that.
Capacity is now 85%, not 100%.
They couldn't even sell 85%.
Nope. They can't give them away.
Now, and what they've done, Jeffrey, they've split their season into two packages now. You can buy a white package
half season.
Or the pewter package.
White or pewter?
Yeah, those are the colors.
You know, nice. I know.
So the white package gets you four regular season games and one preseason game, and the pewter package gets you four regular season games and one preseason game, and you know you can pick which package you want.
You don't even have to buy a full season.
Yeah,
you
don't.
Can buy a half a season.
Buy a half a season. We just want butts in the seats.
Please. And by the way, if you get these now, operators are standing by. Remember, this is a free call.
Yes.
You get these handy corn holders free with your purchase.
And you get this nice calendar with the lovely Tampa Bay cheerleader.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
I like the Vikings.
I think
Minnesota the Vikings are
is not going to suck as much as people think.
I'm with you, and
thank
I'm going to go on record.
Their schedule
saying,
is not kind, okay?
Last year, the Minnesota Vikings... Can you tell me how many games they won? They only won four, dude. Okay? They only won three. They were 3-13. I thought they won four. They won 4-12. They were 3-13. I am going to go on record that they will be much better than that this year.
Steven, here's their opener. This is a team that could be thinking crazy thoughts after week two. Versus Jacksonville at Indianapolis. I'm taking them in both those games. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking them in both those games.
Yeah.
That starts them 2-0, and that starts crazy talk.
That's crazy
that
talk.
That starts crazy talk in Minnesota.
Vikings go
We're going
to the
Super Bowl. We're going to Super Bowl.
Bowl.
No. It gets a lot harder.
Because then
that.
You got San Francisco, Detroit, Tennessee, Washington, Arizona.
They could beat Arizona.
They could beat Arizona, too.
They could beat Tampa Bay. This is a team that could win 8 games. They really could.
They will be a lot better than the 3-13 of last year.
They will certainly be. I guarantee 6 wins. Guarantee. Haven't even done the prediction
seven.
Show,
Give me
but
seven.
I guarantee. No.
Give me seven.
I haven't done my
seven
prediction work
once.
Yet.
Seven going twice.
All right, seven in because it's 77 minutes
I'm
into
Steven
the show.
I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis. Thanks for joining
NFL
us.
For NFL Master Race, thank you very much. It's football time, people!
Woo-hoo.